This is one of my all-time favorites, O Holy Night. The lyrics from the first verse of the song conclude with, O night divine, O night when Christ was born, O night, O holy night, O night divine. And that night was truly divine. And that night was truly holy, because it was the night of our dear Savior's birth. It is important for us to note that although Jesus was born in human form to Mary, Jesus was also fully divine, meaning Jesus was God. The Gospel of John does not have a traditional birth narrative like Matthew and Luke do. But John does tell us about the birth of the Son of God from the Gospel of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, we have talked about this several times. Our faith as Christians is centered on a triune God. That means there are three natures in one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this was a holy night because it is about the birth of a holy God, because God is holy. From many places in the Bible, we learn that God is holy, including Leviticus 19:2. God Himself said, "Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy." So what does it mean to be holy? I thought this was a very great definition by Merriam-Webster. Holy means exalted or worthy of complete devotion as one perfect in goodness and righteousness. That is our God, our holy God. And recently we just studied 1 John, and in 1 John 1:5, John again writes, "This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light, in Him there is no darkness at all." You see, God is holy, God is perfect, God is light, there is no evil, there is no darkness in God. And because of our sin, we are not worthy to be in God's presence. It is our sins that keep us from God. And the only way to have a relationship with this holy God is if we are redeemed. And God desired to bring us into an everlasting redemption by the way of a holy sacrifice. And the only way for a sacrifice to be holy was if that sacrifice was made by a divine being. Not created, as in if that sacrifice was a divine being. And it was the divine Son, the Holy Son, who came to us. And it is very important to us in our theology and in our teachings as a church that we keep this view of Christology, that God is three, that Christ Himself, that Jesus is equal to the Father, equal to the Holy Spirit as one, that He is fully God Himself. This is very important. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And it's important for us to know this because without Him being fully God, He could not be the holy sacrifice. And the Apostle Paul reinforces this teaching from Philippians chapter 2. Paul writes that in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. See, Jesus is divine. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is equal with God. Yet he did something very special to us. Another reason that we have to think of God in three persons, because God the Father didn't come to us, the Holy Spirit didn't come to us, it was Jesus Christ the Son who came to us. And in verse 7 it says, rather than being equal to God, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And in verse 8 says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So we have the divine nature of God who comes to us in the form of Jesus Christ, who was willing to live as us and to die for us. And because he was the divine God, his death and resurrection meant something to us. It meant we could have salvation and eternal redemption. And we ask, why would a divine being do this for us? Because of love, right? We all know this verse, and I know we go over it 100 times, but this is so central to what we believe that's why we memorize it, that's why we say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal love or eternal life. And because of God's love to us, how should we respond to this holy love of the Holy Father? Well, we get our answer if we go back to 1 John 4. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Remember that song, Holy Night? He came to teach us to love one another. This teaching comes directly from the Gospel of John, directly from the mouth of Jesus. Back to the Gospel of John, Jesus says in 13:34, a new command I give you, love one another. Not just love one another, but love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And John records later that same night in chapter 15, the same night, just a few minutes later, he says in chapter 15, this is my command, love each other. Now, if Jesus says the same phrase twice, in the same night, I think this is something very important. It's important for us to understand we are to love each other. Not just tolerate each other, not just put up with each other, but to love each other as Jesus has loved us. That's a whole different kind of love, isn't it? Like the disciples and every other person on this planet, we are sinners. We are broken. We are imperfect. We all have shortcomings. We all have defects. But no matter what level of brokenness that we have, there is no brokenness greater than the love of Christ. Isn't that amazing? You can't outrun the love and grace of Jesus Christ. No matter how broken you are, no matter how far you feel away from God, you're never too far away for his love. And we see the examples of Christ's love all throughout the scriptures. Christ loved some ordinary men, most of them fishermen. And he transformed their lives to the point that they were willing to go out and die for him. 11 of the 12 disciples were murdered and martyred in horrific ways. And the 12th, John, was killed slowly with poison. Remember how Christ loved the adulterous woman and saved her from death? Remember when Christ loved the woman at the well and he gave her living water? Christ loved the Pharisee Nicodemus and taught him to be born again. He loved the woman who had a terrible blood disorder and desperately needed his healing. He saw the crowds of people and he had compassion for the crowds. And yet, even in a busy crowd, he also noticed Zacchaeus up in the tree. And he loved the individual. And Christ, who had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead, was also the one who wrapped a towel around his waist and washed the feet of his disciples. It was Christ who could have commanded a legion of angels to stop his arrest. He could have called the legion of angels to lift him off of the cross and avoid death. Yet he loved us enough to go to that cross and become the sacrifice we needed because he loved us that much. The real gift of Christmas is God's love for us. And we are called to love each other with this same kind of love. Are you the kind of person that loves just because you get loved back? You give a gift because you want to get one back? Or do you live a sacrificial kind of love? Are you the kind of person that's willing to humble yourself and wash the feet of others? Are you the kind of person that's willing to see other broken people, despite all of their brokenness, and love them the way Jesus did and lift them up? Because I think sometimes we forget to love like Jesus loved. It's easy to love the person that lives next to you in your neighborhood and drives the same kind of car and goes to the same kind of social functions that you do. Sometimes it's easy to love the person that was in your class and you had so much fun with. Sometimes it's easy to be with like-minded people that like the same president and hate the same presidents that you like and hate. We're good at easy love. We're really good at easy love, but what we're not good at is the hard love. The kind of love that Jesus had. The kind of love that could look at anybody and say, that person has value, and I'm willing to make a sacrifice for that person so that they could be lifted up to the value that God sees them. The kind of love that's willing to forget about being embarrassed and share the love and the story of Jesus Christ. The person that's willing to share their testimony of how God redeemed them and saved them from eternal death. The kind of love that says, you know what? I don't need that. I'm willing to give that to someone else who needs it. I'm willing to give up my pleasure and my enjoyment so somebody else's needs can be met. Some of you are doing that through the Giving Tree. Some of you did that with your time on Saturday. Some of you have done that in other ways. But before you think that your love is enough, compare your love to the love of Jesus. And allow that to be your measuring stick for how you love people throughout this Advent season. Let us pray together. Almighty and wonderful God, we truly celebrate you as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And how you guys work together is a mystery. Lord, we fully do not understand how the Son is begotten. We do not fully understand how the Spirit proceeds, but we trust your word that says that together you were three in one from the beginning. And somehow, in some great and mysterious way, you allowed your Son to become human, yet remain fully divine, fully God, fully man, but a person who was willing to sacrifice and love the way you designed us to love. Someone who was willing to be the eternal sacrifice that we needed to overcome our sins. And Lord, as we look around us, let us no longer be selfish. Let us no longer be people who ignore those in need. Let us be a people that see with the eyes of your love. Allow us to love generously the way your Son taught us. This we pray in your Son's holy, divine, and precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. The reality of every sermon that I give you should be, what am I going to do with this one? What am I going to do with this message? How will you go out and love like Jesus? What broken person will you find and lift up? What relationship will you go and restore, not out of your greatness, but out of your humility? Because did we deserve restoration from Jesus Christ? He gave it to us whether we deserved it or not. This is a season for you to reach out and do things for people out of love and not out of your goodness, but out of Christ's love. This week you will get a copy list of all of these. Will you be willing to show love for these people and set aside time to pray for them? Maybe you'll have to give up a TV program. Maybe you'll have to stay off of Facebook or the internet or something for a while. Will you sacrifice something to pray for our community? Let us be the people of love. And as we continue to have opportunities to reach out to our community, let them see us outpour with love like they've never seen before. Let them say there's something different about that church because they love like Jesus. Let us leave here now, knowing that a holy and divine God loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice his Son for our salvation. And out of that great love, may we respond with the same kind of sacrificial love, to love all people and to desire for them to have the same faith and eternal promise that we do. Go now in God's love, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.